Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. Peter Wallace here, and I'm with the Reverend Dr. Robin Myers. Robin is pastor of Mayflower Congregational Church, a United Church of Christ in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He is also a professor of rhetoric at Oklahoma City University and the author of the new book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a minister's manifesto for taking back your faith, your flag, your future. And we're going to focus on his book in our interview today. Robin, welcome. We're glad to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
You live in a very red state, yet you are unapologetically liberal. Even so, the local radio broadcast of your sermons each week is top-rated, as I understand it. How do you get away with it?
Well, I think, first of all, I've had the same message for the 20 years that I've been at. If I haven't changed or adapted it to the circumstances. And so even people who disagree with me sort of begrudgingly respect the fact that this is just who I am.
That's who you are.
And I don't think the word liberal is a dirty word. I mean, you look it up, it means open-minded, tolerant of divergent opinions, and exceedingly generous, which I would like to think of myself as being. Mm-hmm. And I'm not always, but I try. So liberal's not an epithet, but it is used that way in Oklahoma in politics. And it means, you know, amoral, no real standards, government program for every problem, a naivete about the evil in the world, all those things that people have sort of made liberal into. I really think that at the heart of the gospel, there is a liberal message. And then I find in God's extravagance in creation and his unconditional love, I find that to be essentially liberal. And I find America to be essentially liberal in the amount of liberties it gave the individual, in the power it gave to people, in the way it helped us understand our responsibilities toward one another. So I love the word liberal, and I refuse to give it up without a fight.
Well, and one of the other adjectives that is being frequently attached to the word liberal these days is godless. And yet, our congregations, our denominations, tend to come from a more liberal background. How did that disconnect happen in the minds of so many people?
I think because church became a kind of bulwark for many people against social change that was disorienting and disconcerting to them, that you'd go to church in order to protect the old ways. And church got to be a place where very traditional, sort of conservative folk gathered and held fast against all the crazy things going on in the world. I actually think the big split here is between whether religion is a confirmational force in your life, that is, whether you layer it on to what you already think and say, see, God agrees with me, or whether religion is a transformational force. That is, God's not going to leave me as he finds me. I'm going to get pushed into new ways of thinking, into loving people that don't seem particularly lovable, or into changing my mind about things when I'm very fond of my own opinions.
What would you say to a pastor or layperson who may hold very similar views with you, but who isn't comfortable sharing them or living them fully? Should they be doing something differently? They're just afraid of the reaction.
I think they're unnecessarily afraid. And the problem with not being honest with your congregation, let's say you don't believe in the virgin birth, at least as a biological maybe you think it's a metaphor of saying this is a person born of the spirit, not of the flesh. Let's say you've studied and you've prayed about this and you've really come to believe that the virgin birth is not crucial to being a Christian, belief in the virgin birth as a doctrine. You ought to say that from your pulpit and not be afraid. If someone comes up to you and says, well, I disagree with you, that's quite all right. But if you don't risk someone's displeasure by being honest with them in the pulpit, how can you expect that you can then turn around and say something they really do agree with and get a compliment from them that is genuine? Someone comes through the line and says, good sermon, Reverend, good sermon, Reverend, good sermon, Reverend, every time because you never say anything controversial. Mm-hmm. You can't trust that sentiment. But if you're willing to upset people, then you also gain credibility personally so that that person can come up and say, I really did agree with you today, and you know that means something. This is a two-way bargain. And I go to conferences all over the country. I talk to ministers, and they tell me, oh, I never say that from the pulpit, even though I believe it. And then I say, well, then you must not have much credibility in the pulpit. We need to all get a little braver. The times, Peter, call for bravery and the prophetic voice in the pulpit again, because we're in a heap of trouble.
Well, you've written a very prophetic book. You've written actually several books, but your latest is attracting a lot of attention, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We talked a little bit about it on the regular Day One program, but tell us again how this book came about.
Well, I gave a speech on the campus of the University of Oklahoma right after the reelection of President Bush, in which I sort of shared my astonishment that the crucial factor could have been what pollsters called moral values. People came out of the voting booth and said, moral values is what made me want to elect Bush as opposed to John Kerry, and John Kerry's mistakes in his campaign notwithstanding. I'm just saying I was sort of amazed when this administration had proved itself already to have taken the nation to war under false pretenses, that it was secretive, that it was suspicious and belligerent toward its critics, that the president repeatedly showed disdain for the Constitution and the balance of powers, that he taunted enemies instead of praying for them as Christians are supposed to do, that he'd run up the deficit, which can only be paid in pain by our children. All these things were swirling around in my head, and I got up and gave a brief speech on a college campus, a very conservative one, by the way, and the students kind of just went wild, and they got the speech, and they put it on the internet, and it started going all over the place, and before I knew it, it had become an internet phenomenon, and then that grew into a book, and so at no time did I think that I needed to write this book. This book was, in fact, demanded of me by other people, which is a whole new way to write a book, and it's turned out to be a much more satisfying way.
Well, as you said, President Bush and many in the administration and in the Congress are Christians and speak openly about their faith, but you believe their policies are actually the reverse of Christ's
teaching. I think in some cases they've become the scribes and Pharisees of our time, that they wear that religion on their sleeve. They understand the power of it, but they pursue an agenda which is unidentifiable as a religious agenda. One example, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, Ernest Campbell, the great preacher from Riverside, said, "The way the strong treat the weak is the ultimate ethical test, not the way the strong help the strong get stronger as the weak get even weaker." And whether it was Hurricane Katrina or the tax cuts that have benefited mostly the wealthy or the deregulation of laws meant to protect the environment, none of these things seem pro-life to me. They don't seem Christian to me. They seem like raw power grabs to me, and that's unbefitting a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. So I just think this is a sort of upside-down time we're living in.
Why do you think the Christian right focuses so much on sexual issues or other issues that seem to be dwarfed by such important major issues as poverty, war, the environment?
Because they know what works. I mean, we have a visceral reaction to issues of human sexuality. We can energize the base far more when we're dealing with gay marriage or sex education or, you know, teen pregnancy, anything having to do with abortion or any of the issues related to human sexuality. That's what gets people steamed up. And there are maybe many other issues that are just as important or more important, but people in politics know what works and they do what works. And you have to hand it to Mr. Rove. He has done what works in terms of the gay marriage issue because there's such strong feelings about it, and he has put it out there as something that might mean the end of Western civilization or the institution of marriage as we know it, which I'm still completely befuddled by that claim. It brings the voters out who vote Republican and preserve the power of that administration. But notice, then it's put back on the shelf. And the real agenda becomes cutting taxes, cutting regulations, doing things that simply preserve and enhance the wealth of the already wealthy.
Your book outlines a plan of action for constructive, nonviolent resistance. Can you give us some specifics?
Well, yeah, there's a number of things in the book. One is that if you feel called to engage in protests of various kinds, you should do so, including if you feel called to resist in a nonviolent way and be arrested. There's a long, faithful tradition of doing this, and sometimes it's the best thing human beings can do. But also lots of simple things like use less stuff. Don't be a mindless consumer. Buy a car that gets better gas mileage. Be an example to your kids and everyone in your community that you can live simply, that you can take care of the earth, that you can be kind and compassionate toward other people, that you do not beat the drums of war, that you're a true follower of the Prince of Peace. All these things taken together can make a difference. And I think there's a lot of people in this country right now just dying to be led in a more constructive direction.
Let me ask you about the use of media. It seems the right wing, whether politically or religiously, has assumed control over a lot of it. Our program is one of the very few that represents the mainline churches. What can people do who are drawn to your message regarding the media?
Well, I think they can be wise consumers of the media and understand how many media outlets are now simply the entertainment divisions of major corporations. So what they're getting is a kind of corporatized view of the world. They need to fight back against that intellectually and socially. And they need to consume media more carefully. They need to listen to programs like this. They need to listen to NPR. They need to beware of some media outlets that are so tied to one political ideology or another that they're not getting the full story. I mean, we the people finally have the power as consumers to reward the kinds of approaches to media that are truthful and honest and are not sort of full of a hidden corporate agenda. So we simply have to behave differently and think more deeply and ask harder questions and demand that people answer the questions that we ask.
Robin, what's the bottom line message you hope is heard loud and clear through your book, through your whole ministry, your life?
Things are not always as they appear, and people very often have an agenda that is hidden. So I want really people to become kind of constructively incredulous about life. I want them to look more deeply and more carefully at what's really going on so that we're not fooled by the pitches of the ad men, so that we're not manipulated by the politicians of our time, and so that we pursue our faith and our belief in the goodness of all humanity and the possibility of a peaceful and just future. We can believe that without being lied to, because I really think that in many ways we're being lied to from many, many avenues. Many venues are now engaged in deception of one kind or another. So we've just got to fight back, think for ourselves. And as Thoreau said when Emerson came to visit him in jail, and Emerson said, "What are you doing in there?" Thoreau said, "The question is, what are you doing out there?" My whole book asks the nation, what are we all still doing out there? Shopping, amusing ourselves to death, when there is a tragic war going on, when there are things happening to our country that we love, that we think are fundamentally wrong and inappropriate and even un-American. We need to all become activists again in our own way.
Robin Myers, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.